Okay, we're continuing on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis about 12 lines down in the wide lines. Amar Mar, so we were saying this Braisa, which was really focused on how the Nisim that went on with the Shemen HaMishcha, and we were talking about how it was used so constantly for the Mishkan and its Kalim, for Aaron and his sons, but it also referenced that it was used for to give Mashiach, to give anointment to kings and to Kohanim Gedolim, which then led the Braisa to go on a tangent for a little bit and discuss some of the aspects of anointing for kings and for Kohanim Gedolim. So Amar Mar, Varfilo, the Braisa said, Varfilo Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol toin Mashiach. It said there's a distinction between a Kohen Gadol and a king, as relates to succession or passing along the position, that a Kohen Gadol, even if his son takes over, the son needs Mashiach, whereas with a king, it doesn't. So the question the Gemara asks is, Minolan, how do I know that a Kohen Gadol still needs Mashiach? Dechsiv, because the Pasuk is written in Vayikra, it says, Vakoyen HaMashiach Tachtov Mibonov, Yasa Oso Chok Olam Lashem Kalil Tiktar, which is talking by the Minchas Chavitin, that we spoke about before, but that the Kohen Gadol needs to bring. So it's talking about that when there's a new Kohen Gadol, a Kohen HaMashiach Tachtov Mibanav, who's anointed under him from his son. So it's talking about succession. So the Gemara says, Neimakra, why does the, let the Pasuk just say, Vakohen Mitachtov Mibanav, the Kohen from beneath him, from amongst his, will fill his position from his sons. My HaMashiach, what did it need the word HaMashiach when it talks about this, about this succession, Kamash Malan, the Mibon of the Kohen Gadol. Kamash Malan, the Mibon of the Kohen Gadol, from among the sons of the Kohen Gadol, I have a Mashiach, have a Kohen Gadol. That if he has Mashiach, if he's anointed, he's a Kohen Gadol, but lo, and if he doesn't, not. I'm sorry, be lo, and if not, lo have a Kohen Gadol, he's not a Kohen Gadol. So you see that for purposes of being Kohen Gadol, that Mashiach is necessary, even if we're talking about a father passing along to a son. Continues the Gemara. Amar Mar, the Braisa said that while it's true that a Kohen Gadol needs Mashiach even if it's father to son, ve'ein moshken melech be'melech. I mean, but you don't have to do Mashiach from one king to his son. If it's a son, he doesn't need new Mashiach. Minolan, the Gemara asks, where do we know this from? Amar Bacha Bar Yaakov, Bacha Bar Yaakov says, d'chsiv, because it's written, l'man yarech yomim amam lachto. So this pasuk is in Devarim. It says, "Levilti rom levova me'achiv, levilti sur min amitzah yeminu smol." He says that he shouldn't be, have a high heart over his brothers, and he shouldn't remove himself from the mitzvah right or left. Leman yarech yamam amamlachto hu ubanav bekerav Yisrael. So that he should ostensibly means that he should have a long kingship, but it says hu ubanav bekerav Yisrael. He and his sons. So you see, Yerusha Hilochem, that it's Yerusha, because it says, Hu Ubanav, him and his sons. So when it says that it's Leman Yarech Yamam Amam Lachto, is not just a reference to a long kingship for that king, but meaning that he should have continuity, that it should pass along to his son, Hu Ubanav, him and his sons. So you see that kingship is a Yerusha. Uminalan Dechiyika Machlokas Boy Mashiach. So Gemara asks, so we said that it's generally works by Yerusha, that you could pass along a king to his son, except that we saw in certain instances, like for example, with Shlomo, that he had his brother Adoniah, or others that were in the case of Asalia, where she tried to kill everyone out, that you need a new Mashiach. Uminala, and the Gemara asks, the Chiyuk HaMachlok is by Mashiach. Where do we know this idea that all of a sudden, if there's machlokes and you need legitimacy, that you need Mashiach. V'lav kol d'boi malko moris malchusa l'bnei. Can't a king just pass along his malchus to his son? It's Yerusha, whoever the king designates. What, even if there's a machlokes, why do you all of a sudden need Mashiach, which is the idea of starting a new line of the kingship, a new line of monarchy? Rav Papa says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Hu Ubanov, so this is the Pasuk we talked about before, him and his sons, which tells you it's Yerusha, but the Pasuk continues, Bekarav Yisrael, amongst Yisrael. Bizman Shalom Yisrael, Karina Bey Hu Ubanov. So when there's Shalom and Klal Yisrael, meaning everyone accepts the king, so then we consider that that's the instance where Hu Ubanov, him and his sons, which is the concept of Malchus as Yerusha, that's where that applies. V'afilu b'lo Mashicha, even without Mashicha. But where there's Machlokas, then you need Mashicha. Now, Tana, we learned, Af Yehu ben Nimshi, lo Nimshach, ela mipe machakuso Yoram, which is Yehoram. So this is talking about that, after Achav's son, Yehoram, was going to take over, and the Rabban Shalom told Elisha to instead make Yehu the king. So we're saying here that even Yehu ben Nimshi, the only reason he got Mashicha was because of the machlokas of Yoram, of Yehoram. So the Gemara asks, now if it's true that when you're starting a new kingship, that's not either that has machlokas or that's not a continuation of, from a prior father. Yehu, his father wasn't the king. This was someone that was brought in to cut off the line of Achav. So in other words, why are we saying that he got Mashicha because there was a machlokas? But typically, Mishum Derishon Hu. But why not just say that the reason he needed Mashicha was because he was the start of a new line of kings, because Elisha was appointing Yehu for the first time. He's not a son of the current king, he's not a continuation from Acharov, from Achav. So it doesn't seem that necessarily you need Mashicha, to start a new line. Maybe Mashicha is only by, so you see it's Machlokas. So the Gemara says, Chasri Mechzer V'Hachikdan. You know, there's something missing here. That what it was meant to, or the part that we insert in, is Malchus based David Meshuchin. Malchus Yisrael ain't Meshuchin. That the Malchus based David, once David HaMelech was appointed, that it's his line that gets Mashicha, but the kings of Yisrael did not get Mashicha. and Minalan, where do we know this idea that Malchus based David gets Mashicha and others don't? Amar Rava says, the Amar Kra, that the Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Vayishach ve'yevi'ehu v'hu admoini im yefe'enayim. It's talking about David HaMelech v'tov roi, that he was good. Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, kum mishachehu ki zehu, that you should get up and anoint him, because this is the one. Zeh toin Mashicha, this is the one that is Mashicha, i.e. David HaMelech and his descendants. Vayin acher toin Mashicha, and another does not need Mashicha. But in any event, how does this answer our question? It answers the question that the question we had was, why, if a new line needs anointment, why did they say that the reason he needed Mashicha is because there was a machlokas? Why not say it's because it was a new line? So the answer the Gemara is giving now is saying, because Yehu was coming for Achav, which was Malchei Yisrael, not Malchei Beis David. So therefore, he would not get anointment, because Malchei Yisrael don't get anointment, only Malchei Beis David. So therefore, the fact that we anointed him was only because of the machlokes about Yehoram, that people wanted Yehoram to be the king. And so because of that, he got Mashicha, but he wouldn't get Mashicha for starting a new line, because the whole concept of Mashicha really applies to Malchus Beis David, not Malchei Yisrael. And he wouldn't have gotten anointed. Amar Mar, Af Yehu ben Nimshi la Nimshach elam ne machalkusa shal Yoram. So the Gemara says again that Yehu, the only reason he got anointed is because of the machlokas. Umishum machalkusa shal Yoram ben Achav nimo b'shemen. So I don't get it. The Gemara asks, if the idea is that Malchei Beis David get Mashicha and Malchei Yisrael don't, so then they don't. And the fact that there's a machlokas with Yoram ben Achav doesn't mean that you should do Me'ilah, that you should use Shemen for something it's not designed for. It's only designed from the time of David HaMelech forward for his descendants. And even if there's machlokas, that what right do we have to use the Shemen HaMishcha for Yehu? So we say, Kedamra Papa, Baparsim Adachya. We're going to see in Mirz Hashem tomorrow, it talks about Parsim Adachya, which is a kind of balsam oil that's pure, that is not, we're going to see it in the concept of, in the Mashiach of Yahyakum, I believe. So just like Rav Papa says there, that we're talking about balsam oil, Halchanami, about Parsim Adachya, we're talking about that when Yehu got anointed, even though he was Malchei Yisrael, so we said that how can you use the anointing oil for someone from Malchei Yisrael, not Malchus Beis David? And we're saying because they didn't use the real Shemen HaMishcha. They anointed him, I guess, it was symbolic, or maybe people thought it was the regular Shemen Mishcha, the anointing oil, but really this was just a different kind of oil that did not have the limitation of being only for Malchus Beis David. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Yasi Yahayachaz mipnei Yahayakim shayagadu mimena shtei shanim." So we said that Yahayachaz got, and these were the sons of Yoshio Hamelech, that he got anointed because his brother was older than him, and therefore, you know, gave him the legitimacy of having the anointing oil, even though he was the son of a melech. So now the Gemara asks, but is it true that Yehoyakim was older than Yehoyachaz? Umi kashish mine, was he in fact older? Vahoksiv, it's written, Ubnei Yoshio Abachor, and the, I'm sorry, Ubnei Yoshio, the sons of Yoshio a king, of Yoshio was the king, Habachor Yochanan, his oldest born was Yochanan, Hasheni, the second was Yehoyakim, Hashlishi Tzidkio, the third son was Tzidkio, Haravi'i Shalom, and the fourth was Shalom. So Vam Reb Yochanan, Reb Yochanan said, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkio, the third and fourth kings, when it says the third is Tzidkio and the fourth is Shalom, those are really the same person. Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. And Yochanan is Yehoachaz. So now what do we see? We see that the oldest, the Bechar, was Yochanan, which we're saying is Yehoachaz. The second oldest was Yehoyakim, and the third was Tzidkio slash Shalom. So now the question is, we said that Yehoachaz was younger than his brother Yehoyakim, and that's the reason that he needed Meshicha, because he was, even though he was being appointed, and he was the younger son. But from here, it looks like the Bechar was Yehoachaz, and the second was Yehoyakim. And so therefore, he was not older than him. In fact, Yehoachaz was the oldest and deserved to be king, and so therefore, why does it say that he got anointed because he was younger? He wasn't younger. So we say, Leolam Yehoyakim Kashish, that really Yehoyakim was older. And my Bechar, so then why does it say that Yochanan, which we said is Yehoachaz, was the Bechar? It doesn't mean the Bechar that he was the eldest born, but rather it means Bechar Lamalchus. He was the eldest for the Malchus, meaning he was the first to become the king. In fact, what happened was Yehoachaz became king for a brief period, and then his brother Yehoyakim became king later. And even though Yehoyakim was older, but he didn't, he was not the first for the Malchus. So the Gemara asks, well, that's interesting. Actually, why, Umi Malche Zutri Mikami Keshishi, does a younger son become a melech before the older? Vahoksiv, the Pasuk is written, we have this Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. It says, V'yas ha-mamlocha nasan li-Yehoram ki hu ha-bechar, that the mamlocha was given to Yehoram, who was the bechar. Now, this Yehoram is not a reference to the one we referenced before, who was, we called Yoram, who was the son of Achav. That was a Malchei Yisrael. We're talking about Yehoram, who was the son of, I believe, Yehoshaphat. that it says that the kingship was given to Yehoram because he was the Bechar of Yehoshaphat. So what do you see? You see that the eldest son is entitled to the kingship. So why, in the case of Yehoachaz, did he go before his older brother Yehoyakim? So we say Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat, was Mamali Makom Avos Avhaya, that he was, he filled the place of his fathers, meaning that he was righteous. Now, Rashi points out that we know that Yehoram was a problematic king. So Rashi says, Dechimalach, that when he was appointed a king, Akati Avei Tzadik, Memali Makom Avos Avhave, that he was still a tzadik who was filling the place of his fathers. V'achar kach hichmitz. Later he got, spoiled. But in any event, Yehoram was a proper fulfillment for filling the place of his father, and therefore, as long as he's ra'oi, and he's the Bechar, he should be the first. He's the oldest he should be. But Yehoyakim, lav mamali makom avos hava, that Yehoyakim was not a proper candidate to fulfill his father's shoes, and therefore it went to the second oldest son, which is Yehoachaz, before it went to Yehoyakim. Amar Mar. So we said before in the Braisa, I think in the name of Yochanan, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyahu. The third and fourth sons, Shalom is the fourth and Tzidkiyahu is the third, are really the same person. Who Yochanan, who Yochaz. And when it said the Yochanan, the Bukhar is a reference to Yochaz. So the Gemara asks, so what you're really saying is that the oldest was Yehoachaz, the second was Yehoyakim, and the third was Shalom / Tzidkiyo. So there was only three sons. But the Gemara says, V'ha'chad chad ka'choshev. The Pasuk lists them out and actually numbers them. Dechsiv, Hashlishi, the third one was Tzidkiyo, Aravi was Shalom. So the Gemara says, no, when it says he was the third and he was the fourth, my Shlishi Labanim, was saying that Tzidkiyo was the third son. Umay Ravi, when it says he was the fourth, Ravi Lamachus, he was the fourth to the king, to the kingship. Why? The Meikara Melech. So after Yoshio was the Meikara Melech Yehoachaz. The Yehoachaz, the second oldest son, was the king for a relatively short while. Ulabasof Yehoyakim. Then it went to his brother Yehoyakim, who was actually the Bukhar, but he wasn't so raw, so he didn't get it first, he got it second. Ulabasof. And then it went to Yechonya, who was actually the son of Yehoyakim. Yechonya is the one we reference in when we do Megillas Eicha. So Yechonya, and Yechonya had a very short kingship, but it was his kingship was the one that they surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar. So he was the son of Yehoyakim. So basically, he went to Yoshio Amalek, went to his second son Yehoachaz, then to his first son Yehoyakim, then to the son of Yehoyakim, Ulabasof Tzidkiyo, and then jumped back up a generation from Yechonya to his uncle, Tzidkiyo. And Tzidkiyo was put into place by Nebuchadnezzar, as we'll see in a moment. So when it says the third, he was the third in age, and he was the fourth in kingship, because it went the second brother, the first brother, the son of the first brother, and then back to up a generation to the third brother. So he was the third in age, but fourth in line for the kingship. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, hu Shalom, hu Tzidkiyo. That Shalom and Tzidkiyo are the same person. V'lamar nikra shmo Shalom. Why was he called? Why do we call Tzidkiyo Shalom? Shehaya mishulam b'maisav. That he was complete in his deeds. The tzaddik, Rashi says, the tzaddik gomer have a balmasim tovim. That he was a tzaddik gomer with good deeds. And that's why he's called Shalom. He's complete. Ikudiyami, there are those that say Shalom shashoma malchus beis David b'yamav. That Shalom is shashoma, that he completed malchus beis David, meaning this was the bookend. After this, there was no longer any malchus beis David, because at this point was when they got exiled by Nebuchadnezzar after Shalom, who was Tzidkiyo, who was the fourth king. Gemara says, Mashmo, Matanya Shmo. And what was his real name? Actually, when we say Shalom and Tzidkiyo are the same person, that's true, but that's not even, neither of those is his real names. His real name was Matanya. Why, how do we know? Shenamar, because the Pasuk tells us in Malachim Beis, Vayimlach Melech Bavel es Matanya Dodo Tachtav. He says that the Melech Bavel had his uncle Matanya went underneath him. So it's talking about Yechonya, who was the third king, and it went from there to his uncle. Vayasev Eshmo Tzidkiyo. He changed his name to be Tzidkiyo. Then Nebuchadnezzar named him Tzidkiyo. So his real name was Matanya, and he was then called Tzidkiyo and Shalom. So now, Amalei, so where did the name Tzidkiyo come from? That Nebuchadnezzar said, Ka yatzdik alecha esadin in timrod bi. That the Ribbono Shalom should be matzdik on you the din if you rebel against me. And in fact, he did end up rebelling against him, which is what Yirmiyahu HaNavi had warned him not to do. But, in any event, that's where the name Tzidkiyo came from, is because he made a shvua with him. He said that Ka Yatzdik, which is Tzidkiyahu, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be matzdik the din if he rebels. Uksiv, and we see this, the Gamba Melech Nebuchadnezzar Morad, that he rebelled against the king Nebuchadnezzar, Asher Hishbio Velokim, who had sworn to him by the name of Hashem. So he said, Ka, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be matzdik the din on Tzidkiyahu if he rebelled. So you see that when it talks about that the person who changed his name to Tzidkio was Matanya, who was the uncle of Yechaniah. So therefore, what we had was Yehoahaz was the first king, even though he was the second son. Then it went to his brother Yehoyakim, who was the less fitting. Yehoyakim had a relatively long reign. Then it went to Yehoyakim's son Yechaniah, who surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, so short reign, and he was sent to Golos Bavel. And then Nebuchadnezzar put into place his brother Matanya, who was also Shalom, who was Shalom B'Masav, but Nebuchadnezzar renamed him to be Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Have a good day.